Welcome to the Application Delivery Challenge interview section. This is a section where I, Robin Leyland, are going to interview representatives of the vendors participating in the challenge to learn more about their solutions and about the area of application delivery. To find out more information about this boundary solution and other solutions, you can also check the text part of the challenge. Today with me, I have Gary Heminger, Director of Product Marketing for Foundry Network for Data Center Products. First, Gary, what's your background?
Hello, Robin. It's a pleasure to be with you today. My background, I was in the software business, software development side of things, engineering for about 10 years. Did about 8 to 10 years of systems engineering, both pre and post sales. And for the past 10 years, I've been focused really on product management and marketing. All of it in the networking side of the business, network and application side of the business.
So you've gotten your hands dirty, and now you're into marketing.
So, I got my hands dirty. I had to make it work, and now I help people design it and develop products that fit people's needs out there.
Okay. So let's begin with the first question. Application delivery controllers are next-generation server load balancers, or application switches, whichever name you prefer, are key in any data center design. They sit in front of the various servers and other devices which provide the key functions. So one of the most important things is to make sure that you can grow. I mean, everybody's data center is growing, adding more servers, galloping more power, heating up the entire universe. But we got to make it with a solution when we put an application delivery controller in that can grow with the organization and their needs. I mean, what's some of the key things to look for or some of the key ways to achieve, smooth growth without disruption?
I mean, that's a very good question, Robin. We've, seen a lot of our competitors out there that have appliance-based solutions where it's really more of a forklift upgrade. There's no scalability in the solution itself. What Foundry does is we believe that it's very key to provide investment protection for our customers, and that investment protection is in the form of products that can grow as the customer grows. So instead of having to replace products and perhaps redeploy them, we have more of a strategy of providing a chassis-based solution that you can add components to, whether those components be more line modules for more 10 gig and gig connectivity, that they be more application switching modules so you can support more layer 4, layer 7 performance, whether they're modules or added like power supplies for redundant power supply capability. We think it's very important that these solutions be able to grow, and that also they're able to take advantage of new technologies. So as new processors and new capabilities kind of in line with Moore's Law come on the market, Foundry wants to be able to take advantage of these and be able to provide additional modules, both management modules, application modules, and interface modules that can be placed into existing chassis to grow the performance and grow the scalability over time without having to, like I said, forklift upgrade these products. We think that's very important. And yes, we do have a set of fixed configuration stackable based solution, and those are appropriate in some cases, but we believe for the larger data centers, the data centers where growth is going to be an issue, that going with a chassis-based solution, a purpose-built box that can grow with the customers is very key to being able to provide the scalability that people are looking for.
Okay, so what are the first things they should look for if they try to have a scalable solution is a solution that you can grow by adding new line cards, new functions, and like that. Is there any other key attributes that need to be looked at to make sure they can scale?
Well, I think that being able to add application capacity in a box is very important. So you need to look at it and say to yourself, okay, today if I'm going to support 100,000 layer 7 connections per second in an application delivery controller, tomorrow if I want to go to 200,000, how am I going to do that? Am I going to have to replace that box, or can I just add components and add a new technology into that existing product so that I can achieve the application performance I'm looking for in the future? So I think it's very important for people to look out, not just today, but where am I going a year, 2 years from now, and is the investment I'm making going to apply and be applicable to the future performance and scalability requirements that I have for this organization? And if not, you know, you really got to look at that and say, you know, am I, you know, is this investment going to pay off in the end?
Okay, so growth is important, but providing growth without a high availability solution is not really a solution. So what's some of the mechanisms people should shop for to guarantee that whatever solution they get is high availability?
Well, that's another good point, especially when we talk about high growth companies or organizations. We frequently talk about organizations where high availability is a key part of why they put in the application delivery controller in the first place. So not only are they doing it for scalability and capacity, but they're adding these application delivery controllers to maintain the availability of the application at all times. And if you're going to do that, I mean, does it really make sense to put in a an application delivery controller that doesn't have, for instance, redundant power, that doesn't have redundant management, that doesn't have the capability to be put into a high availability pair? So we typically, for the data center class solutions we're providing, we're typically selling our products in pairs where they're paired up to provide high availability. And there's multiple modes of high availability we support. One's a hot standby, where essentially you have a single primary application delivery controller and a second box that's a backup to the first. That's kind of the simplest HA environment. The more complex environment, which we support and is a key part of our offering, is an active-active mode. And in that mode, both boxes are active. Both boxes are managing perhaps different VIPs, and if one of the box fails, the virtual IP address can fail over to the second box, so to the box that is still up and running. So we support a variety of different high availability modes, and customers can pick which ones they desire. But we typically sell these boxes in pairs, these solutions in pairs. As you're putting in these solutions to provide high availability in the first place, so you need to provide the high availability in the product. And if you have these delivery controllers, these application delivery controllers, and they don't have redundant management, if they don't have redundant power, if they don't support both AC and DC power, if they don't have a very high MTBFs. For instance, if they have spinning media, the MTBFs can be, you know, quite a bit lower than products that don't have spinning media. So we believe that, you know, a box that's integrated to provide redundancy in the box and a redundant solution, both active-active and hot standby, you know, very important to achieving some of the high availability goals that these organizations have.
Well, you mentioned one thing I'd like to explain a little further. I mean, I understand what a redundant power supply is, you know, and I know the problems of spinning media and all that. But what do you mean by redundant management? To me, management is sort of like a function, you know. So what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is, okay, so these application delivery controllers, they focus on delivering, you know, delivering applications, right? They want to do mm-hmm. high speed layer 7 and layer 4 connections per second. Well, they also have management modules in these products. And what I mean by management, kind of separating out the management plane from the application plane from the data plane. So management's things like configuration, image uploading, troubleshooting the box, determining what the status of the box, right? Well, these are functions that are typically not performance sensitive, but if the management processor itself goes bad, the whole box goes bad.
Okay, so you're looking at it as a situation that it's not just I got to have a redundant power supply. If some of the key functions like management goes, the box is as dead as if the power supply went.
Exactly.
So somebody who doesn't duplicate all the key functions. I mean, you can have a line card go, and that server's gone, unfortunately, and hopefully you have it attached someplace else.
Right.
But if management went,
the whole box.
Because you usually don't think of losing management of as a that's a severe thing, but I can see what you're getting at. So
no,
it's a critical thing to ask.
It's a critical thing, and here's the thing: if you go look at most networking vendors, their data center boxes or have redundant management and provide things like hitless failover and hitless upgradability.
Right.
And these kind of features are just as key in the application delivery market. And Foundry believes that the purpose-built boxes that have these capabilities in them are very key to the success of some of these data center operations.
Well, since we're on the topic of management, management is key to these. How do you manage the Foundry application delivery controller? I mean, what sets Foundry apart in its management?
Well, that's a very good point. And, managing these boxes is really the first point at which customers really get a taste of how they're going to, deal with this, with these solutions, how they're going to interact with them. And what we provide is three different ways to manage our products. The first way, and these three ways are really mapped to how customers are managing their networks. If you look at the networking operations people, the networking side of the equation, they typically like command line interfaces. They're used to command line interfaces that are very Cisco-like. Foundry has one. People that know, these command line interfaces very easily can operate the Foundry product. But if you look at the system side of the house, a lot of system side people buy these products. They would rather use GUI interface rather than a command line interface. And Foundry offers a GUI interface that allows systems administrators to manage the box without having to know all these complicated command line interface calls. So those are two ways of managing the box. Excuse me. The third way is, what if I have a lot of these boxes? Whether I use the GUI or the CLI, if I have a lot of our server arm products, I need a way to manage a lot of boxes. I need to be able to deploy configurations and backup configurations and deploy images and do configuration templates and do status across lots of our products. And this is where Foundry really, the third leg where Foundry really shines, and that is that we have a product called IronView Network Manager that can manage, that fully manage our layer 4 through 7 products and can also manage our layer 2, 3 and wireless products. So it's the only integrated network management platform in the market that can really manage wired, wireline, and L47 application delivery controllers in a single product. So you can get a view of the topology. You can get a view of the status. You can set up security policy management. And a lot of our customers really like this IronView capability, IronView Network Manager, because it allows them to manage all of their Foundry infrastructure with a single product. And so we're seeing more and more customers that have larger numbers of server arm products use the INM product to manage both the server arm product and the other parts. So essentially we have both element management systems and larger scale network management systems that allow us to, give customers a range of different mechanisms for managing the Layer 4.7 application delivery products.
So what you're basically saying out there to the customers listening is that when you look at the management features, it's key not to just see what it can do for one box, but how does it manage a whole group of boxes? Because most people are going to end up with multiple application delivery controllers,
right on.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, you're absolutely right on going back to the scalability thing is you have to think about not only scalability with a single box, but you might have to manage as a application manager or as a security manager or a network manager. You might have to manage multiple of these solutions. So you need to think about that in terms of, providing a managed solution that can help you alleviate some of the problems with a multiple box solution.
Okay. Now, I'm sure besides your own management products, you play with a lot of the common HP OpenView and all that. So if somebody has that their preference, you're not excluding them, are you?
No, absolutely not. In this case, IronView Network Manager can act as a proxy manager for Microview's NetCool, for HP OpenView, for basically, most of the higher-end managers of managers on the market. So we have lots of customers that are using IronView and interfacing to HP OpenView, doing topology integration with HP OpenView, doing alarm management, proxy alarms through HP OpenView and through Micromuse NetCool.
Okay. One of my favorite things I like to ask is, let's move on beyond scalability and management, and let's start talking about the Layer 7 features. First of all, what do you think are the real important features that you have in your equipment in the Layer 7 and application awareness?
Well, there's a number of things. One of them is we call content switching, which allows us to basically switch on any portion of the headers and right down into the application side as well. This is our CSW content switching feature. This is extremely popular. We've had this capability for some time now. And we see more and more customers that are typically in the past Layer 4 customers now moving to Layer 7, both on the enterprise and the service provider side, and using content switching to provide more complicated Layer 7 switching. In addition,
Yeah, go ahead. Can you make it sort of, what do you mean by content switching?
Well, we can...
Sounds nice, but what does it mean?
Well, what it means is that we can do URL switching, we can do cookie switching, we can go into whatever application you're running, whether it's Oracle or BEA or a variety of Microsoft products, SharePoint and OCS, LCS, and we can go make switching decisions and content switching decisions based on details of the application rather than just the TCP or UDP port.
Okay. Could you give me a customer example of how they've used this feature and how it's helped their business?
Well, a good example is we have a large, I can't give the name of the company, but there's a large company in the Silicon Valley here, a large computer company makes high-end servers, and they have a large Oracle environment, and they're using Oracle Enterprise Manager to manage their Oracle environment. And they are using Layer 7 content switching to make decisions on which Oracle Enterprise server should handle various enterprise requests. And that information, you cannot provide that kind of switching just looking at TCP or UDP port numbers. You have to actually go into the Oracle Enterprise Manager packet, the application part of the packet, and make a decision on which user should be routed to which enterprise manager, based on detailed information inside the application header, and the only way to provide persistence so that request and that user continues to go to the same Oracle Enterprise Manager within the cluster, the only way is to use detailed information inside the packet. And only with our content switching capability can we do that. You cannot do that just switching on TCP or UDP headers.
Okay, so it sounds like with the Layer 7 features, which we just barely touched on, the content switching, that you're able to go deeply into the packet, look at what it is, and determine what server to send it to, so you can run your data center more efficiently.
Absolutely. It's a form of application-oriented networking, essentially. It allows you to build more application awareness in the network and switch based on the application rather than simply on the TCP or UDP header. And we see more organizations moving this way.
Okay. Let's move on to a final topic. It's a topic that I see all the time in data center discussions today. I think it's going to be very important in the future. It was very important in the past. It's gained importance. It's virtualization. Virtualization promises to make the data center more flexible, easier to provision, and save a lot of money. Yeah, how does Foundry play in the virtualized environment? I mean, what's your view on this virtualization and how it impacts the application delivery controller?
Well, we think that this is a really hot area right now, and we break up. Actually, there's multiple segments or multiple facets to the virtualization side of things. One is basically role management, where customers whether they have an application delivery controller and want to divide up by function who gets access to it. So maybe an operations group would have one role where they'd get in and only have read access for like looking at status for the application delivery controller, and another group would be able to get in and do full configuration, so read write access. That's one part of role management and virtualization. The other part is, what if you have an application delivery controller that has multiple servers on it, and some of the servers are owned by one group and some of the servers are owned by another, and they're running different applications. I might want to provide role access where this, you know, group A can only get access to the servers in group A, and group B can only get access to the servers and VIPs in group B. And that's one role management capability, and Foundry can support that today. We actually support that with our IronView Network Manager. Mm-hmm. And we have a number of customers, service provider and enterprise customers, that are using that capability to provide services to external users and to divide up their, you know, access to the application delivery controller by group type, essentially, whether it's an operator or actually a configuration group. We see that as only the beginning, though, and we'll continue to develop even, you know, beyond just role management capabilities. We'll move towards developing full virtualization capabilities, which allow us to basically take one of our application delivery controller server arm products and essentially divide it up into multiple virtualized application delivery controllers in a single box. And we think that's where things are going. We don't think people are quite there yet. We definitely know that role-based management as a part of virtualization is required now. But in the future, more virtualization will be required. As people continue to centralize a lot of these services, we'll get more and more customers that want to treat one of the application delivery controllers like it's an application delivery controllers. And we think that's going to save quite a bit in operational costs in the future, and it's definitely something that Foundry will be continuing to work on over the next 12 to 18 months.
So we got a situation, if you have an application delivery controller, you can actually make it look like Group A and Group B had their own separate application delivery controller.
That's where you
want to move.
That's the direction, exactly.
Okay.
That's where you think people, that's what people want to do. They're just starting to, you know, really get their hands around what that means right now, but that's clearly where the market's going. In the short term, role-based management is key.
Right.
In the longer term, full virtualization, or what I call full virtualization, as you described it, is going to be important.
So why do they want that?
Well,
what's the reason? I mean, say I'm one of the people listening out there, and I go, well, why do I care about that? I mean, for those who are already waiting for this feature, you can listen, but really, why? What's it
doing
for you?
Well, it depends on what, if you're looking at role-based management, it's clear.
No, I meant that, let's talk about, I understand
the
role
virtualization,
management. Yeah, I mean, the role-based management is very obvious. I mean, you can let people have limited access, you can have different groups have things, but I meant like we're getting to the virtualization where I can create multiple images of the ADC inside the same physical hardware.
Well, think about, there's a couple different, actually, there's multiple different reasons why, but I can think of a couple right off the bat that are the most clear. Think about an organization that's providing, you know, a hosted service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're providing a hosted service, and they, in addition, they want to provide an application delivery controller service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, the classic mechanism is that they would go out and buy a separate application delivery controller for every customer.
Right.
But the customer may only have, 10, 20 servers. Maybe they don't really need the horsepower of a full application delivery controller. So the result is you'd have potentially a lot of application delivery controllers that have to be separately managed, separately powered, separate rack space, and aren't operating at maximum capacity. In a virtualized world, I might be able to take 10 of those application delivery controllers and just reduce that to one ADC and have all of the servers for different customers on one ADC with the role-based management stuff I talked about before, so they can still get in and manage their own, what looks like their own application delivery controller, but it's actually a shared application delivery controller. The result is now the customer still gets the performance and still has the manageability that they're looking for, and they still think that they have their own application delivery controller, but the service provider actually has been able to deliver the service at a fraction of the cost, fraction of the space, fraction of the power, fraction of the operational cost, and still meet the customer's needs.
Okay. So we've had an interesting discussion, and we talked a great deal about how to grow these, how to manage them, and now we've talked about virtualization. So I think we've covered quite a wide base here.
I think it's been a very good discussion. I think the questions are right in line with the kind of questions we get in the market every day, and they're, you know, continuing to grow, especially on the virtualization side.
If you need more information about what Gary's talked about, you can call Foundry, probably go to their website, and challenge them and ask them to explain more the virtualization role. I'm sure they'd be glad to talk about it. And you can find more information about this topic, the Application Delivery Challenge, at the site here. And I'd like to thank Gary for participating. And if you got any questions, send me an email, and I'll try to answer or deal with them too. Any last closing remarks, Gary?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to answer your questions. I think they're very good questions. I look forward to working with you in the future.